Blog Talk Radio.
The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware. Because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you ever have dreams that mystify you? Dreams that you wake up and you wonder, what was that all about? Can you imagine what it would be like to know what your dreams mean? Although sometimes my dreams are so hard to remember. Have you ever wanted to know why you don't dream? Are you one of those people who never dreams? That's too bad, because I think you're missing out on a lot of fun. Now, would you like to learn what happens when you have reoccurring dreams, you know, the ones that come back over and over and over? Now tell me, have you ever heard about a book called U-Turn, Changing Direction in Midlife? Now would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to understand your own dreams in your dreams? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I'll be introducing you to one of my favorite guest co-hosts. She's a success coach extraordinaire. She always provides us with wonderful information, inspiration, and some really, really great advice. And today it's going to be about your dreams. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media and syndicated on iHeart Radio Talk with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeart Radio. Our show has now had over 2.2 million listeners to date. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no-wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. She is a co-host, and she's been with us for quite a while, and we love sharing her. She reinvented herself at age 44, transitioned from stand-up comic to a therapist. She uses fear as a motivator, not a reason to play safe in life. It's my pleasure to welcome back to our show Dr. Nancy Irwin. Hi, Dr. Nancy. How are you today?
I'm great, January, and all your wonderful listeners. Thanks so much for having me back again.
Oh, I adore having you on the show. And our topic is in your dreams. But before we go to that, just share briefly for my listeners who have maybe never heard you before, a little bit about your eclectic background, where you go from stand-up comedian to psychologist, psychiatrist. Share with us that story briefly. I love it.
You know, the road from comedy to mental health is very short indeed.
Perfect.
Yeah. No, it was a great party. I had a great time as a stand-up for 9.5 years. And then I discovered something else that just thrilled me more. So it was time for that party to end and move on to another one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I encourage people to look at reinvention. It's moving from one wonderful thing to the next. And when it's your time to make a move, to reinvent, it really doesn't hurt.
And share the fact that you're never too old, because I know you did this at 44. I wrote my first book at 50. And so for all those people sitting there wondering what they're going to do next, age is not something that should hold you back. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. Now, fortunately, I picked a career for this one, for therapy, where age is an asset. Not many people go to a 25-year-old psychologist because they don't have enough life experience yet.
Yeah.
Age is an asset in my business, of course. There certainly are age limits with some professions, of course. Like, it's a little too late for me to be a prima ballerina and things like that. But realistically, you can always turn whatever passion you have into perhaps an ancillary career. If I really wanted to be a prima ballerina, I probably can't be on point, but I could open a dance school. I could work for a ballet company. I could do fundraising for one. I could support the arts. There's plenty of ways that you can be a part of your passion just with a different role.
Yeah. You know, I love that aspect. We need to really do a show sometime on that. The fact that age can be an asset, but I know it's for you. And as you said, who would want to go to a 20-year-old psychiatrist? That's probably not something anyone would want to do. And, you know, I have found that as a talk show host, age is an asset because you've been around, been there, done that, and you kind of have a little more insight. And there are other careers that are assets too, aren't there?
Absolutely. There are plenty of them. And with the world changing at the pace that it's changing, we don't even know what jobs are going to be available 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, 10 years ago, there was no iPhone. Look how that has changed the world and opened up billions of opportunities for people of all ages. So I know there's a natural fear when things change. But if you look throughout history, we've always had to reinvent. I mean, when people gave up their horse and buggies and started driving cars, don't you think the owners of the horse and buggy companies were freaking out? But then they learned to adapt and maybe retrain, did some skills retraining, transferred some skills from the horses and buggies to the cars.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look through the Industrial Revolution and every other epoch of history, and you can see change has always benefited us. The smart people will just adapt and find a way to and transfer their skills.
Oh, yeah. You know, and we need to focus on that on a future show, because some jobs that are in the future have not even been created yet. You know, like when I think about when I was in LA and I first went into radio, you went to a station, it was a big production. And just here we are a few years later, radio is done on the internet. My studio is in my home. I never could have imagined an evolution like that in my career. And I know it's happened in your career too, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And as Charles Darwin said, you know, it's not the most intelligent of the species. It's those who are most adaptable to change.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that is definitely something anyone can acquire at any time.
Yeah, and it's our goal here on Success Stories to share these stories and to encourage people to embrace change. Sometimes it's hard, but with the technology we have now, I think it's incredibly exciting, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Technology is such a blessing. It can be a curse when people misuse it or overuse it. But that's another show, too. Don't get me started on the selfishness and the narcissism of over, you know, selfies and overuse of cell phones. But technology, oh, gosh. Yeah, it's such a blessing because it's changed the business world, you know, completely. And the publishing industry.
Oh, yeah, and the entertainment, radio, whatever. Now, today our topic, as we have to get back on topic, is in your dreams. I'm going to try to get us back on topic. Now, tell me, Dr. Nancy, do our dreams really mean anything? Because sometimes I have some of the weirdest dreams you can imagine. And I wake up scratching my head, wondering, what in the hell was that about?
Here's the deal. There's nothing weird or random in the unconscious. People say this to me all the time. Oh, it was just this random dream, this image. It was, no, there's nothing random. It came up for a reason. Now, it could be you were watching a movie, a TV show, reading a book right before bed, and so you're dreaming about some aspect of that book or movie or whatever, yet it triggered something in you that you identify with and is a reminder of something you want to do or something you want to release or resolve. Everything that comes up in our dreams is for our highest good. Of course, you know, I come from a positive psychology background. I'm kind of a Pollyanna, but all of our, my favorite, and there are many theories of dream interpretation. You can take what I have to say or leave it. Not everyone agrees, but it gives me peace of mind and all my patients and listeners. But my dream analysis theory is a very empowering, positive one, sort of a gestalt theory, where you examine one part and it helps you in other parts of your life. Every image, every person, every object, every action in your dreams is some aspect of you. When you dream about your mother, it's not your mother per se. It's what part of you is reflected in her, the good, the bad, or the ugly. So to that end, there are really no bad dreams or nightmares or sweet dreams. They're all good because they're either, let's take the happy dreams, the sweet ones, they're either a reminder of a time in your life when you were confident, successful, and how you want to recapture that again. Or a bad dream or a nightmare, you're trying to release something, guilt, shame, anxiety, divorce, etc.
Okay. I love what you're telling us. There are no bad dreams. And in every dream, whoever is in the dream, you're saying it's basically an expression of ourselves?
Some aspect of the self. Let's say I have a dream about President Obama. I'm not dreaming about him per se, but I have to break it down and say, okay, I dreamed I was on stage with President Obama giving a speech, for example. It would be part of me that would probably be about a leadership quality. Something I agreed with him, something I disagree with. How do I feel like a minority, for example? It could be something like that, or being new in this profession, whatever it is. But it is specific to every individual. This is why I tell people, if you have a dream symbol book and you run to it like a dictionary to see what this big blue kite in a dream means, throw those books away. There are no universal meanings. We all have our own association with every object or experience. Some people hate Obama, some people love him. If you dream about a pit bull, that would scare the hell out of me, but other people love and train pit bulls. So you're going to have two completely different interpretations.
This is fascinating. And basically, you know, when I took my dream analysis class many, many years ago in California, they basically said the same thing. They said that you are, whatever you dream about, it's a reflection of you, it's you. It, and isn't it interesting that dreams are all about you?
Yes, because we are all we know. We haven't experienced anyone else's life except our own. So the mind at night is healing and releasing and detoxing, just like your body is.
It's
getting rejuvenated. And there's no way we have enough time during the day to process everything. It's just too much, especially in this day and age. So the mind takes over at night and is, as I always say, it's sort of sending up emails from the deep. And it's always to help you. And some messages that we receive are not pleasant, but they're necessary, and it's something we need to attend to or resolve or release. Always, always for your highest good.
Okay, I love that. This is an excellent explanation. As you know, Dr. Nancy, I've just recovered from hip replacement surgery. And one of the interesting things that the doctor said was that when you go home, your healing occurs while you are sleeping. And they were referring to the physical aspects of my operation. But what you're talking about is even more intriguing. You're talking about the mental aspects, aren't you?
Absolutely. The psychological aspect, your feelings that you don't have time to attend to by day will haunt you at night.
Well, I'm not going to haunt you, but I am going to introduce our sponsors. And when we come back with Dr. Nancy, we're going to address a few more questions, such as, does everyone dream? And what if you don't dream? We'll be right back.
January is thrilled to be welcoming Dr. Nancy Irwin. We'll be co-hosting on iHeartRadio with January Jones. As a doctor of psychology, clinical hypnotist, and author of U-Turn, Changing Direction in Midlife, Dr. Nancy is an agent for change. Many people believe that change can be scary, but she believes it can actually be creative and fun. She does know a thing or two about change because at age 44, she transitioned from a stand-up comedian to shrink. Oh, believe her, the road from comedy to mental health is very short indeed. Most fears are learned, and the good news is whatever we learned, we can unlearn. Smoking, overeating, fear of public speaking, test anxiety, what have you. On our show, we'll be discussing how you can dissolve that negative programming and free your inner winner. Change is inevitable. You can either affect it or accept it. Visit her site, drnancyirwin.com. Are you living the life you always wanted? Is your relationship fulfilling or a constant roller coaster ride? Do you know how to chart your own path? If you are sick of struggling, overwhelmed, stressed, but desire balance, emotional freedom, and a purposeful life, then it's time to try something that really works. Dr. Casey's unique result-oriented emotional mastery technique will teach you how to be your own therapist while empowering you to be your best. Learn more at drsimoncasey.com. That's drsimoncasey.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Whine Zone. Today we're visiting with one of my favorite no whiners, Dr. Nancy Irwin. She never whines, or at least she doesn't whine in public. Now, Nancy, let's talk about the fact. My question here is, does everyone dream? Do some people not dream?
Well, here's the way the dream cycle works. There are four stages of sleep. It's a cycle. And then we circle back through the REM stage, which is rapid eye movement. That's the phase of the sleep cycle where we dream. If you don't dream, it may mean you're not going to the deepest level of sleep because you fall asleep, you go to stage one, then deeper at two, deeper at three. Four is the deepest state of sleep. And then you cycle back around. So due to many factors, whether it's exhaustion or sleep deprivation or illness, sometimes age, a lot of different things, excessive worry, times of stress, these things can all prevent us from getting the deep sleep we need. So we have a sleep deficit, sleep deprived. Mm-hmm. So many times in that we do miss the cycle where we dream and release and have the REM stage. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong. It probably means you're not getting enough sleep, but many times it's okay. A lot of healthy people don't dream. More than likely, what happens, though, is people do dream and they just don't recall it. Maybe their lives are pretty stress-free. They're pretty happy. Lucky, they're pretty easygoing people. They have a good life, and things just seem to flow for them. And so their dreams aren't overly dramatic. So we're dreaming where it appears it's random stuff, just snippets here and there. But there's nothing really deep that needs to be released or resolved out of the ordinary. So this is what I would say to people: when you have a violent dream or something really absurd, conscious is deliberately creating something. It's not literal, it's usually metaphorical, but it does it in a very dramatic way because that gets your attention. If something mundane and blasé, you will not recall it, and therefore you'll think, well, I just don't dream. And you probably do for reasons we just talked about. So when you have wild dreams, there's something going on your psyche's trying to wake you up to, pun intended.
Well, I think sometimes these dreams possibly could be so painful that people want to pretend they didn't happen. Would that happen?
Absolutely. Let's look at victims of PTSD, whether it was a military person who's repeatedly, and here's what happens with dreams like that when there are flashbacks or nightmares like that, where they're reliving vivid, horrible incidents. Your mind is trying to make sense of something that does not make sense. You're trying to give it some sort of different ending where you're in control, because God help you, you've experienced something where you are out of control. As human beings, we like to be in control. So this is why we repeatedly go over something in our mind to try to fix it, if you will. So the answer to that is examining this, pouring it all out, confronting those fears, and beginning to accept that you cannot change. You were a victim of this horrible incident, whether it was an earthquake or a flood or war or a rape or anything like that.
Well, you know, so often we go to the movies, and some movies I just can't go to see because I know I'm going to have dreams about it. Because, you know, this San Andreas, where it was about an earthquake in California. Well, you lived there, and I lived there for 42. And I thought, I can't go watch that because I will be up day and night. And those things get into your subconscious, don't they?
Yes, and here's what usually happens. None of us, well, some of us, we like fear, otherwise we wouldn't go to scary movies. We wouldn't take roller coaster rides, skydiving, things like that. Some people have more of a thrill-seeking gene than others. Sometimes that changes with age. I can't overly stimulate like that near the way I was when I was much younger. But I don't really like that stuff anyway. But what happens when you watch, let's take the San Andreas movie. I haven't seen it, nor will I.
me too.
If it did, it would trigger a fear in me that might happen, or it would awaken some fear of something similar I experienced. I've never been in an earthquake. I mean, I felt tremors here, but there, again, that could be a metaphor for some other sort of earthquake when something was life-altering or I felt like the rug was jerked out from under me in life. It's not always literal. It can be a metaphor, but it would trigger some other upheaval in my life. Many times that's appropriate to look at and see what needs to be changed. At this stage of the game, I don't need to watch a deliberately scary movie, too, because I've kind of worked on a lot of my stuff. So I don't need to experience that upheaval now for no reason.
I went through 3 earthquakes, and when I think about it, my advice is make a good drink and go back to bed.
There you go. That worked. Yeah. Happy drink.
Okay, let's talk a little bit, Dr. Nancy, about dream symbols. I took this class on dream analysis, but I guess I must have fell asleep during dream symbols. What is that?
Well, again, there are no universal symbols. Every symbol or image or whatever comes up is relative to the dreamer. It's coming up because it means something to you. even if it seems I don't have a clue what this represents, if you work with somebody who really knows how to dig deep, you will find somehow you've got an association to that. Sometimes it may seem like something that's completely confusing, because what you're trying to release is a sense of confusion or indecision in your own life. Something feels foreign, you feel lost, you feel blocked, stopped, and that could be what the symbol means to you at that time. Because that's another very important aspect of this. It's when you're having the dream. The dream I have today is different than the same symbol or image that I would have in my dream 30 years ago. Because it has to do with what's happening in my life now. Am I uncomfortable with my boss or my life or my husband? My job, my health, things are different now than they were then, and they'll be different 10 years from now. So it has to do with the context, the timing, all of the...
You know, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors, and when we come back with Dr. Nancy, we're going to talk about what reoccurring dreams happen, you know, the dreams that keep happening over and over and over. We'll be right back.
Have you ever met someone who was shot in the chest in cold blood and lived to tell it? Now you have. Meet Hannah Lugeri Murray, author, advocate, and survivor of domestic violence, and now the founder and president of Angel of Mercy Shelter of Hope. Her dreamlike life turned to horror as her raging husband stood across her and fired his gun. She was left for dead. By a miracle, she survived to tell her story. Her book is available on Amazon and her website. If you'd like to have a personally signed copy, please visit her website at livetotellit.com. Hannah is now in the process of raising money to build her own shelter in Chandler, Arizona. Her shelter will house abused women, their children, and unique to Arizona, their pets. For more information, please visit her website at angelofmercyshelter.org. Joining January Jones as her co-host on the show is Miles Millard, the great success creator. Miles is a two-time best-selling author with books entitled Against the Grain and Successonomics. He continues to transform 100,000 people all over the world through his speaking and training. His uplifting and essential messages, like Bulletproof, Time Machine, and Strength in Numbers, are impacting every audience he meets. Together with January Jones, they'll explore how to be successful and what steps you can take to achieve the success you want. Visit successhq.net, leadup.biz, and learningbreaks.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
I am pleased to announce that Priceless Personality is now available also at audiblebooks.com. We're visiting with one of my very favorite Priceless Personalities, Dr. Nancy Irwin, and we're discussing in your dreams the things that happen to us once we go to sleep. Dr. Nancy, before we talk about what reoccurring dreams mean, could you share a little bit about your website, your practice, and your book, and how people can contact you?
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much. Yes, I'm Los Angeles-based. I'm on the west side of Los Angeles. I have a hypnotherapy practice, and I also work at Seasons Recovery Center, which is a wonderful luxury rehab facility in Malibu for alcohol and substance issues. That's my job, and my website for the hypnotherapy practice is www.hypnotherapy.com. drnancyirwin.com. That's just drnancyirwin.com. And my book is available on Amazon. It is U-Turn, Changing Direction in Midlife. And U-Turn is spelled Y-O-U. Because you make the change, baby.
That's the way it goes. And your website's fantastic, and I encourage everyone who's listening to visit Nancy. She can cover any topic, and she's just a tremendous comedian who has become a therapist, which is an amazing evolution. Now, Nancy, let's talk a little bit about what do reoccurring dreams have? You know, the ones you have over and over and over, and you're trying to figure out what it's about.
Sure. These are dreams, whether it's in an intense short period of time, you have the same, basically the same dream over and over. Your mind is trying to get your attention to something that you really have to look at, even if you don't wanna. It's knocking on the door with all the ferocity of, you know, a policeman. It's saying, mm-hmm. Look, you've got to look at this. You have to release, resolve, heal something. If those dreams are spread out over a lifetime, and I've got one that I've had myself. I can't remember when I started having it in childhood.
Really?
And I would have it every few years, and I would always end up in the same place. And it was only until I worked with somebody who was even better than me at realizing dreams. Hard to see our own stuff. And I finally figured out exactly what the meaning was, and then the dream stopped.
Wow. You got the answer, and then it was over. Now, I've never had the reoccurring dream situation, but like you, I've talked to so many people who have shared that, and it can be a very upsetting thing, don't you agree?
Absolutely. And I can share a couple of examples.
Okay.
Great confidentiality. I won't use anyone's name, but let's call her Susan.
Okay.
Had a son who was a hopeless heroin addict. I hate to use the word hopeless, but it was really a dire straits. She kept having a dream about walking into his bedroom and seeing him propped up in bed with a needle in his arm and dead.
Okay.
Horrific. Horrific to see your own son in that position. But actually, he was that way in life. He just wasn't dead, but it's close. Mm-hmm. And so, as it turns out, this woman had her own drug and substance issues as well. So we broke it down, and we determined that the reason she kept having this dream is what she was seeing herself in her son. So it wasn't her son's drug use per se. He was a mirror to her to fix herself first.
Okay.
We just uncovered all that. She got that message. Those dreams went away, which found relief because they were torturous nightmares.
And she fixed herself, and did he fix himself?
He's still in the process. She, yes, is in recovery, I'm happy to say. He's a work in progress, and not yet. But the message was, she just, you know, people who have recurring nightmares or just nightmares at all are so torturous.
Yeah.
By them, and they think that they're bad, they deserve it, or it means something bad is going to happen. It's not that at all. Dreams are not precognitive. I mean, they can be, but I'm not a psychic, and you can speak to someone else to address that, because I think that happens. But I take dreams at face value, that it's something happening in the now that you must attend to, that's always for your highest good. And it's always a reflection of the self. When we put that spin on it for Susan, she was able to heal, and then she let go of those dreams. So she got the message. She didn't need to be tortured by the nightmares anymore.
Mm-hmm. Now, when people are having these kind of dreams that are reoccurring, sometimes, you know, I wake up, we all wake up, you can't remember the dream. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I've had a dream, you know, I try to write down what I remember, but sometimes it's very hard to remember, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I always tell people, if you really want to grow and see what's happening in your life, especially when you're going through therapy, your dreams, of course, are very revealing. So take note of your dreams. Just keep a little notepad by your bed and like a Sharpie, which is usually easier to write with, And then when you wake up in the morning, write down just the keywords, you know, big black bear, fireplace, you know, whatever the keywords are, and then that will jog the memory later and you can fill in the blanks to interpret it. Another thing is keep a little sound recorder by your bed. So if it's easier for you to speak into it, if it's too hard for you to write first thing in the morning or you have glasses or whatnot, then keep a little recorder and just say, wow, I dreamed about my mother at my wedding and she had the cake and blah, 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 whatever the details are. Then you can break down those symbols and think, okay, what was really going on?
Isn't it just amazing when, as we're having this conversation, I'm thinking about all the things that go on in my brain, which is like the biggest computer in the universe, and it pulls things back from my childhood, you know, things you would never consciously try to remember, and isn't it amazing how they just pop back in at random?
They're really not random. Something in your current life is triggering something you've been struggling with or trying to overcome through your life. This is another thing about recurring dreams. If they've been spread out over a lifetime, which mine was, then it's a core theme of yours, whether it's an insecurity or a shame or feeling less than or some core theme that you've been struggling with for your whole life. You will see your theme in there. And when you can break it down and begin to work on it, oh my God, it's so empowering. Let me share a couple of dreams, if I will, so listeners can catch on, because I like everybody to be empowered to learn what's going on in these symbols without taking it literally, so that they can analyze their own dreams for their own empowerment, because they're so cool. I've had this dream several times now, and it's really so funny. And then I have to look down and see what the gift. There's always a gift in your dreams. So the gift, I'll tell you later.
But I like that.
Yes. I'm on a stage. It's like Carnegie Hall. I'm in front of this huge, or standing in front of this huge orchestra. All these elegantly dressed people are out there eagerly anticipating my performance. I'm standing right there by the conductor with a flute in my hand, poised, and I hear the orchestra begin, and I'm completely frozen, going, oh my God, I don't have a clue how to play the flute. How am I going to fake it? Isn't that hilarious?
This is a nightmare.
It is, because I wake up in a cold sweat going, oh my God. So I have to laugh at it, first of all, and go, okay, what's going on in my life where I'm feeling unprepared or like a fraud? Now, I am classically trained, but not in the flute. I was an opera singer, but I'm not, I don't have a clue how to play the flute. But it's like, where am I feeling like a fake, like a fraud? Where is my confidence lacking in my life right now, where I'm feeling on the spot, I have to prove something? So see, that's the gift. Part of me has been feeling like a fraud, unprepared, something like that. And it's in another area of my life. It's not about playing the flute or performing on a stage.
Right. Yeah.
But that dream is so vivid that it's dramatic and it gets my attention because it is so, you know, abstract for me.
Oh, yeah. That's a great story to share. And we're going to share our wonderful sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk about nightmares, which playing a flute at Carnegie Hall, for me, would be a nightmare. And obviously it was for Dr. Nancy Irwin. We'll be right back.
The moment after you serve your customer, what will they tell the world? Social media has us so connected that a single voice has unprecedented power to benefit and to harm. What do your customers say? Do you know? Do you respond? What do you say? For years, Steve Holtquist has been helping businesses use the internet to be more productive and successful. Now he's showing businesses how to go back to the future, fostering and empowering relationships. Learn how to work in this new world. Find Steve at InfiniteSummit.com. One expert, one solution. The book, The 411 on Step-Parenting, teaches you how to create a well-blended step-family. The 411 on Surviving Teenhood helps parents and teens cope with teenage temptations, teachable moments, and teenage social dilemmas. The books, The 411 on Life Skills and Ace Your Life, helps those living on their own with home and money management, personal care and safety, and much more. An award-winning, best-selling author, registered nurse, and personal growth mentor, Michelle Sfakianos will help you. Get the 411, my411books.com. Layla, a book by Jeannie Kerrigan, will take you on a journey, a raw, heart-wrenching journey. The final resting place? Love. Jeannie is an author, healer, and executive director of Ricky's Revolution Nonprofit. You can get your copy of her book at JeannieKerrigan.com. Ricky's Revolution comes directly out of Layla, dedicated to helping homeless runaway youths and victims of sex trafficking reach a place of safety. We distribute Jeannie's monkey named Ricky with vital hotline numbers embroidered on him free to children on the street through loving collaboration with thousands. Proceeds from the book and your donations have saved lives. Ricky'sRevolution.org.
Welcome back with my guest, Dr. Nancy Irwin, and we're talking about in your dreams. And dreams are something that we all experience, but I haven't ever experienced them this way, Dr. Nancy. I love what you're sharing with us. Could you talk a little bit about what happens when people have nightmares? And I know everyone does, and it's a scary thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. Again, yeah. My nightmare about playing the flute at Carnegie Hall when I don't have a clue how to play the flute certainly is a nightmare. Let's take the standard nightmare, which everybody's had in some form of fashion. It's called the actor's nightmare, where you're dreaming you're on stage and you're buck naked and you can't remember one of your lines. Obviously, this dream is not to scare you and tell you you're not prepared or that you're going to do this at the next show. It's, first of all, when you dream about being naked someplace, usually it has to do with your feeling very vulnerable in your life.
Sure.
It's not necessarily a sexual dream, although it can be, but it's usually you're feeling very vulnerable, exposed in some way. When you forget your lines, obviously for an actor or anyone who needs to remember their lines or some important text, it's maybe you are worried about you don't have enough time to prepare, or you're not trusting that you can cover if you do blow a line or forget it. So it's a reminder that you need to work on trusting that you can be confident enough, you know what's going on, you can fill in the blanks if you forget, or that you do need to prepare more. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to forget all your words and go up on stage.
Well, you know, that is a wonderful example for people who are actors. I was never an actor, but oh my gosh, Nancy, I used to have this horrible nightmare where I would wake up and realize I had missed taking an exam in college, or I would wake up, I was a flight attendant, and I would wake up and think I had missed a flight.
You were a flight attendant?
Oh, yeah.
In real life?
Oh,
so
yeah.
And so you would dream about missing a flight?
Oh, yeah, which is the worst thing you can do. And I would have these dreams about exams and flights, and I'm sure people all the time have these kind of dreams, don't they?
Of course, and that's kind of a natural anxiety dream to have anyway, because you don't want to miss something important. Quite frequently, if we're flying, especially an international flight, it's hard to sleep the night before because you're worried, what if I miss it?
And you know.
Get the flight. So that's sort of a natural anxiety, or it just can come from not trusting your alarm will work, or your husband will wake you, or that the hotel will call you. It usually comes down to not trusting yourself or someone else to take care of business. Another common nightmare people talk about is sitting there to take a test and you don't have a clue what the subject is about. That's another standard nightmare, as popular as the actor's nightmare. And even though you're not a student, you may dream you're back in school, or more than likely what's happening, let's say I dream that I'm in sixth grade again, and I'm taking a math test, and I always sucked at math, and I don't have a clue what any of the answers are, so I'm terrified. That means, where in my life do I feel very young and vulnerable and unprepared? It's not necessarily me, the adult woman in her 50s. It's what part of me feels like a sixth grader again, dislikes that teacher or that leader, or feels like she's not prepared, or is being tested in something she's not very good at.
You know, isn't it amazing? And I know this is your profession, but when I look back on my own life, so many things from my childhood as I get older. They keep resurfacing. Why is that?
Because it's being triggered by something going on in your life now.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to look at exactly what that is. I'd have to have more details. But frequently people will tell me they have a dream. They're an adult in their body and life now. They look the same, but they're mm-hmm. in their childhood home they lived in when they were five.
Yeah.
And so there's something occurring today that was similar or was triggering something that they learned or were frightened by when they were five in that home setting. So it's
It's so amazing how much children retain, don't you agree?
Well, sure, because everything, you have a blank slate, and everything is new and fresh. And so really, after about the age of 8 to 12, between 8 and 12,
mm-hmm.
you're done. Everything after those ages is simply triggering something you learned. Everything we're learning today as adults, middle age, elderly, is something, some form or variation of something we learned a long time ago, because it doesn't mean we're not always learning. We certainly are, especially new things. There's certainly new stimuli all the time. However, you've already formed an opinion about how you deal with change, what you like, what you don't like, what you're good at, what you suck at, if you're smart enough to learn new things, if people like you. That stuff gets put into place very early on. I'm not saying it's accurate, but you have a perception of the world due to your personality, your experiences, the training, your influences of your parents, teachers, everyone around you that's shaping your worldview. There's usually a positive and a negative. We all know we're good at something, and we all know we suck at something, or this is our weakness. So we run everything through that filter. So anything new, we already are forming an opinion about it based on what we already know. And it's like, oh, nobody here is going to like me, because you learned that in first grade. Let's say you were new and to the area and people were ostracizing you. To you, that made it meant something. You weren't likable. It's not true, but that's the way you perceived it. And you carry that through your life.
Well, you know, your message is amazing today, because everything you do, say, or experience with a child, guess what? It'll stay with them forever and ever. And Dr. Nancy, it's been so much fun visiting with you today.
Oh my God, that's blue. No, there's so much more to say.
Well, I hope we can get you back again and we'll talk some more. I certainly want to talk about age as an asset, because I'm certainly feeling that very strongly. Thank you so much for being on the show, and I look forward to having you back again.
Always a pleasure, January, and sweet dreams.
Oh, I love that. This was fun. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today, In Your Dreams. And my upcoming guests will amaze, amuse, and astonish you. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world, when you can sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. If you would like to be a guest or advertise with us, just go to info@januaryjones. We love sharing our stories, our secrets, and our struggles for success. Remember my mantra: if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest today, Dr. Nancy Irwin. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Sorantos.
This is Sorantos, and you're listening to January Jones.
I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. I sing because I can.
This is Sarantos. I hope you enjoyed January Jones' latest episode.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.